You're listening to the Creating Your Own Path podcast, episode number 113. Hey everyone, and welcome to the show. I'm Jen Snyder, the host of Creating Your Own Path, and each week I share conversations with those working in various creative industries. We cover a lot of ground on this show, but the ultimate goal is to unearth the stories of others so that we can uncover and better understand our own. You can listen to the show on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher Radio, or your favorite podcast app. You can also catch a new episode each week at creatingyourownpath.com. Today is our last segment with Christine Heron, who, as you likely know by now, is a designer and hand letterer who also has launched her own line of memory-keeping products. She just recently wrapped up her time as an Adobe Creative Resident, and today's episode is all about her experience. In the interview, we talk about her specific project for the residency and why she proposed it to the Adobe team. We also get into some behind-the-scenes stuff regarding how the residency works, why the public speaking aspect of the residency turned out to be huge for her, what it was like to share her process along the way, and how her experience taught her to be both a creative and a business person. I'm so grateful to Christine for giving us a deeper look at a residency like this, and I know you guys are going to get a lot out of it. So let's get to Christine. For those who might not know what the residency is all about, will you give us kind of the basics?
Yeah, for sure. They actually just launched the new residence this week. So the Adobe Creative Residency is a one-year program where Adobe supports creatives full-time with benefits, which is so great for a freelancer, full-time with benefits to work on any project that they want. And the only, I think, condition is that residents are open to sharing their process, sharing their work, talking about it and all that. And it sounds so amazing. What? Adobe's going to pay me to do whatever I want? But of course, there are little things that aren't as, mentioned. Like, for example, we have weekly check-ins to see what we're working on. And we had to propose a project in the beginning. The application required a big project proposal. And there were a ton of interviews where they made sure, what are you working on? Is this something you can do? What is the purpose of this project? It can't just be, making these things just for fun. It's it has to have a bigger purpose. It has to be easy to share and all that. But that's basically what the creative residency is.
When you decided to go through the application process, what were you hoping to accomplish from a career perspective for you?
I have been freelancing for a while now. So when I heard about it, I was okay, this is cool. And this, I remember telling them, because one of the questions too is, why do you think you need the creative residency? And I think for me, it was less of how I could grow creatively and more of I needed someone to kind of push me out of my comfort zone, because I knew that, again, as a classic introvert, I love to just work by myself and stay out of the spotlight and just do my own thing. And I knew that the creative residency would, they give you mentors that you need to work on your project. So I love the idea of having mentors and that guidance from a bigger, company. And also that they were there to kind of push me in all these directions that I wouldn't usually choose for myself. So I was being part of this creative residency, I'm going to be forced to talk about my work in front of a crowd, or I'm going to be forced to post about this and share this process, even if it's not completely done. So that was kind of what I wanted from a career standpoint. I knew it was a way to grow, and that's kind of what got me excited about it.
Again, because just from following you on Instagram and reading your blog and stuff, I know that the public speaking was a big deal, right?
Oh my gosh. I mean, the first time I spoke at a conference, it's no big deal, 500 people. And it's what am I going to talk about? And the funny thing is too, I decided to go super vulnerable with my topic. So I talked about perfectionism and my creative process and how there were so many projects that I never finished because I was overthinking everything. And I think going into the creative residency, like, I knew that public speaking was a part of it, but I was like, oh my God, I'll figure that out when I get there. I didn't think it would be such a, I mean, it was a big deal for me, but I thought it was just the one part of the whole thing. And looking back, I think that's kind of where I've grown the most, because Christine right now versus Christine last year, if you told me I would be speaking in front of like all these people, I think Christine last year would be like, oh my God, wait, I'm gonna freak out. And Christine now would be like, what am I gonna talk about? Like, sure, I can do it. I always say like I'm super anxious before I get on stage, but when I'm actually on stage, I love it. And that's so weird. Like, that's so not me. But it's, yeah, that's kind of how it's gone all year, because Adobe is just like, oh, by the way, you're speaking at South by Southwest. And I'm like, what? No big deal, right?
No pressure, Christine.
I know. I'm like, wait, Casey Neistat's talking like next room. Like, and then why am I here? Who am I? So it's like opportunities like that where, yeah, there's no time to freak out or say no. You just do it. And it's, yeah, it's helped me so much.
That's awesome. Yeah. It's, that would be definitely out of my comfort zone for sure. So I could feel the like the anxiousness about it when I was reading through some of your stuff, because I feel the same way.
But imagine if like you tomorrow I just tell you, by the way, you're speaking at South by, like, you're already on the schedule. You'll just be like, okay.
Well, I guess I better write some notes down.
Exactly. That's how I felt. It's like, well, I can't get out of this now. So.
Right. Yeah. Well, and I have spoken at events before where I almost had too much lead time to worry.
Oh, God, yeah.
You know,
yeah.
And so I like worked myself into a tizzy, and then it was fine. But, you know, I could have done without all of that anxiety.
Yeah.
At the front of it.
I get all that anxiety all the time. It's still there. It never goes away. So.
Yeah. And so with the residency, just for those who, you know, aren't totally familiar with your work, what exactly was the project that you proposed for the residency?
I remember looking at the terms and they were like, oh, they said I can work on whatever I want. Well, I'm going to work on something scrapbooking related. I think what I presented was I want to bring documenting, this idea of documenting, into a more mainstream world. And I think you asked this earlier, but I didn't get to touch on it. But why? Like, I've always had this kind of tension between my scrapbooking side and my designer side. Just because scrapbooking has always been known, I think the old school way of thinking of scrapbooking is like big flowers and butterflies and like, you know, like grandma scrapbooking. And I loved scrapbooking, but I was like, this is what people think it is. And I always felt like I couldn't share my passion for scrapbooking to my designer friends, because they'd be like, ew, really? And I mean, I got a lot of, like, I've had people kind of jokingly make fun of my, like, oh, is this for your scrapbook? And it's like, oh, come on. So I always thought I had to keep those two separate. And when I applied for the creative residency, I was like, oh, this is my challenge. Like, how do I, because I love the spirit of scrapbooking and documenting and all these things. And like, how do I use my graphic design to kind of bring that spirit and make it into something that more people will get and kind of get into because it's designed much better. So I proposed, and the funny thing was, like, my proposal, it was Adobe who was like, I think a lot of your stuff is travel related. And I was like, yeah, I do love to travel. And they're like, what if you focus it on traveling? And I was like, okay, that's cool. I can totally go with that. So I presented, I said I wanted to work on a line of paper products that were centered around traveling and documenting. So it was pretty open. Like, it's a line of products, whether it's like travel journals or whatever, but it was pretty open enough that it could kind of be anything. And yeah, I remember presenting that, being like really worried that Adobe might laugh at my face and like, what is this scrapbooking? But they were so super interested in it. The people I talked to, they were like, yeah, this is like, scrapbooking is cool. Like, I used to keep a journal. Like, I think so many people got it. Like, I was just so anxious that people would judge me for, you know, scrapbooking. But like, in truth, a lot of people love it and think that it's interesting. So that kind of got me excited. Like, okay, this could be a thing.
Yeah. Well, and like your challenge was to make scrapbooking cool again.
Yeah.
In a way, like, because it's well designed, what you do is it's all really beautifully designed. And so I can't tell you how many times I went looking for things for scrapbooking and it was super cheesy. It looked like, it was like the equivalent of, and this, I don't mean to like bash old school scrapbooking stuff, but it was the modern equivalent of like going to the clip art in Microsoft Office.
Yep. Yeah.
And grabbing clip art versus having something that's like beautifully designed.
I agree. And I think so many like scrapbookers are actually doing like super great work, but you won't know about them unless you're in the scrapbooking industry. Like people like Allie Edwards or Kelly Perky. Like they're my heroes, but I feel like you wouldn't know about them if you didn't decide to like jump into the scrapbooking world. And usually people already have that barrier, like scrapbooking, oh, they already think they have an idea of what it is. So it's like they never find those folks. And I'm like, well, how do I, you know, make it more mainstream kind of?
Yeah, and accessible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, and part of the, you know, the interesting part of the Adobe Creative Residency is that you're asked to sort of share your process. And I feel like that education element is probably, you know, a good part of that. And so last season, I spoke with Becky Simpson, who is also a resident. Mm-hmm. And I asked her what it was like to spend so much time sharing what she was doing while she was actually doing it. I know that sometimes it can be hard. It can be hard to actually do the work and then crap, I have to take an Instagram picture because I have to share this. I'm supposed to be sharing my process, but I'm in the process and I just want to keep working. So, so how did you make that balance work for you as you went through the residency?
I feel like I could have done a better job at it because once again, my perfectionist side is like, it's not done. I can't show it yet. But one thing I would do too is I would have like these super elaborate like Behance posts about this is the project, this is where it started, this is here are some screenshots of my InDesign, like this is what I was thinking, this was the, so I was kind of forced to kind of backtrack and recount all my steps. And I would do this like after because I'm like, oh, I realized I haven't been sharing. But it like they really pushed me to kind of really get into the details of what I was thinking and all that. And I always tell them like, oh my God, thank you for encouraging me to write this blog post because now I got like a couple of freelance clients from it because they could see like, oh, I feel like you put so much thought into your work. Like, I want you to make something similar for me. I'm like, amazing. So just putting your work out there and like your process out there kind of makes it easier for clients to kind of get in your head a bit because sometimes they see the perfect, you know, the perfect finished product. And they're like, okay, this person can make this. But if you can recount all the steps and say like, this is how I kind of tweaked it a bit and I thought about this, but it didn't work. Like they love that. Like they love to see that you're really, there really is a process behind just like these portfolio perfect pictures of finished products. So like that's super helped me. I mean, I am still very bad at showing process, but just with the residency, being able to do a lot of work on the fly and showing it has super helped. But yeah, I could have been better about that.
Yeah, but I think that still doing it in retrospect, it's still valuable probably to you and to whoever is reading it, whether it's a blog post or Instagram post or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. And I like that you kind of gave yourself the permission to maybe not do it while you were in the middle of something, but you gave yourself the permission to kind of do it in retrospect, even if it was an accident.
Yeah.
It's like, okay, well, I can still do this, this, and this in order to fulfill that requirement, but also show people what's happening.
Yeah. So. And I think a big way of me sharing too was the speaking, because a lot of the talks that I did was about centered around this one project that I was working on. And I was really forced to show them my early sketches and say like, hey, you know, this project, I've actually been working on this for like 7 years. I've never finished it because I always felt like this wasn't good enough. And so that was kind of a way too, to show my process and like, here's an early version of it, and here's all my overthinking that came with it. And so it's kind of slower and less of like daily sketches, but it's more of like, oh my God, this is how my creative process actually works. And this is how I talk myself out of making all these things. And that was a big part, I think, for sure, of the residency, like sharing that to a lot of people. Because a lot of people at the end of my talk would be like, oh my God, that's me too. Like, I overthink this thing. And I'm like, you just got to do it. And I'm like, yeah, that's my problem too. But I get the struggle. But you know, you look back and you're like, why was I overthinking this? I could have just done it and it would have been done and I could go on to the next project. So right. Yeah, that kind of process I shared a lot for sure.
Okay. And so with the residency, what are some of the biggest lessons you learned from the project and then from the residency itself?
So one of the biggest things I've learned really is, well, aside from the things that are super scary, everything is figure outable, like you'll figure it out, like just getting out of your comfort zone for sure. But one thing as a business person and a creative person with my travel journal project, I like to joke that my designer side took over and my business side was just like, uh-oh. Because my designer side was like, I want all the colors. I want it a special format. I want to throw everything in it. And like my designer side was like, okay, but this is already super expensive and I don't know if you can sell it for the right, you know, price. So that, like, balancing those two, it's like, yes, you have a creative vision, but you also have to think about practical things. Right. Like, do you even need all the colors? Like, non-designers wouldn't, you know, it's like you don't need all four colors and to do a good job. And like having these constraints too is very helpful, especially, you know, both from a creative side and like business side. That's like one of the biggest lessons, because like having Adobe too to keep me accountable, they were there to kind of show me all the things I wasn't thinking about. So they would be like, okay, have you marketed this thing? And I'm like, yeah, I posted on Instagram. They're like, that's not enough. Like, you have to reach out to all these people and tell them about it. And I'm like, ew, do I have to? Like, and they're like, of course, what are you doing? Like, they're like, we can only help you so much, but this is what you have to do. And I was like, oh, that's true. Like, things, like, there's just so many things that if you want this outcome, like, yeah, you got to work for that. So that they taught me that too. They taught me about thinking about the business side. They taught me about not being afraid to ask for help. One of the other creative residents, Sarah Dici, in her final presentation, she was also saying, like, she realized that no one is untouchable. And that's so true, because like all these people that I thought were like scary big designers, I mean, of course, I guess it helped that I was like, I'm with Adobe. And so it's like, I'm not just some random person. But I feel like even if I were a random person who was very like genuinely had something that I wanted to show them and ask, you know, for advice. I mean, obviously, I'm not just going to say, tell me all your secrets. But it's like, this is what I have. What do you think about this? Like, almost all the big designers I've met were just so nice and were so willing to help me. And yeah, like, no one is untouchable. Like, I mean, they're all people. And they're all also, like, they have their own insecurities, their own whatever, and just, like, needing them. I was like, oh, well, that wasn't so hard, Christine. Like, if you ask for help in, like, a very genuine way, like, people are always willing to help. And people are always, you have to give them something. I always say, like, I was kind of scared to market my thing, because I was like, I don't want to be talking about myself all the time. And then I realized, well, I have to put myself out there so people will know that I have this thing. And people are always willing to help you share it. You just have to, like, have something to make it easy for them to share. And so that was also something I learned. Like, it's a lot of it was being better about putting myself out there, and that it shouldn't, like, my anxiety is like, oh my God, I'm in the spotlight. Like, people are gonna, like, they might think I'm talking about myself too much. Like, no, not really. But yeah, those are like the biggest lessons, I think. Balancing the business side and just being okay with putting myself out there and asking for help. Cause,
well, definitely big lessons, but worth learning, I'm sure. So, do you have any advice for those who might be interested in applying for a residency, any residency?
Yeah. So one big thing I tell people who want to apply is to propose a project that you're genuinely interested in. Like, genuinely interested in, because, well, one, you will be working on that thing, so you have to love it. But like, they can really tell if it's something you're really excited about. And that is very important, because it's like, there's something about, like, if it's really a project that you're excited about, like, you have just so many ideas for it. It's so much easier to actually work on. And I think that really helped me with applying with Adobe, because I remember I was like, okay, I want to really get serious about this business. And I remember going to my Adobe interview thinking, okay, I'm really excited about this idea of a line of products around this thing. Oh my gosh, even if they don't accept me, I'm still going to do it. And so a project like that, where it's like, you would still choose to do it on your own, like, that played a big part, I think, in me being like, it was so easy for me to talk about and explain, because I was like, oh, I'm really going to do this, even if they don't pick me. And another piece of advice that also helps is, and this is more with Adobe, but to kind of not sweat the small stuff, because sometimes we think we can only propose a project that we know the entire, like, we know how to get there. For example, I remember saying something like, I want to make an app, but maybe not, because I don't know how to do that. And they were like, well, that's what we're here to help you with. Like, that's what we're here for. And it's like, oh yeah, like, don't feel limited by what you know, and just be open to be like saying, this is the general idea of what I want to do. And think kind of like, as cliche as it sounds, like, think big, because there, if you just think of doing things that you know how to do, there's like, I don't know, it's just so limited. There's no space to kind of learn and go beyond that. So
that is great advice. Thank you for taking the time to chat with me today. I appreciate it.
Yeah, I love this. Thanks for asking me to be on. I'm so excited.
That was Christine, you guys. You can find out more about her and her work by visiting christineheron.com, and you can find her memory keeping products at everydayexplorers.co. Don't forget, you can find Christine on Instagram at christine.heron. I've also got everything we mentioned in today's show linked up over in the show notes at creatingyourownpath.com. One final reminder for you guys, the digital bundle of 100 Days of Discussion went on sale earlier this month, and the sale runs through June 30th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this on the day it comes out. So for those of you who are new here, I participated in the 100 Day Project in 2015 with 100 Days of Discussion, and earlier this year, I adapted that project into a book. As I mentioned a few weeks ago, there are still a handful of print books available on the site, but the digital bundle, which comes with both an ebook and an audiobook, is perfect for summer road trips. If you want a guided road trip conversation game, which is really fun, please be sure to check it out at jenniferesnyder.com. The digital bundle is 30% off right now. So all you have to do is enter code SUMMER17, all caps. Make sure you put the caps lock on or it won't work. The offer is good, again, through June 30th, so tomorrow. So head to jenniferesnyder.com and enter the code SUMMER17 at checkout. All right, as always, my friends, thank you for listening, and I will catch you next week.